Hello and welcome to IT Showcase. I'm Mike Reese, and with me today is Justin Lane. We work inside of Microsoft IT. We work on SQL Server adoption with internal TAP teams. Together, we've actually been working at Microsoft for quite a while now.
Yeah, I think when we both started, we both had a lot more hair.
Yes, we did. That has changed. But other things haven't changed, like our passion for technology and early adoption. Today, we'll be covering some of the investments made by SQL Server 2012 in the areas of always on and their investments in BI and how the features were used by the internal TAP teams. So with that, Justin, let's start with Always On. Why don't you give us some insight into what the TAP teams did with Always On?
You bet. There's so many great features that SQL Server 2012 is delivering, and we started with one that absolutely every enterprise cares about, and that's high availability and disaster recovery. How do we protect our own data? How do we protect those critical business processes that we have? So across IT, we have a number of different technologies that we use for high availability. We've got failover clustering. There's database mirroring, there's log shipping, there's several different flavors of replication that we use, and even some homegrown systems. And the problem that we have with all of these technologies is they're totally different. They're configured different, they're managed different, they're monitored different, and they don't necessarily integrate well. Yeah. And a lot of times we're having to use a combination of these things to actually get us the kind of solution that we want to have in place.
So can you give me a little bit better example? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you bet. So database mirroring, it's a technology introduced in SQL Server 2005. And one of the limitations that it has is you can only have one database mirror set up for a database at a time. It can be synchronous or it can be asynchronous, but you can only have one. That means you can't use that one single solution for both local availability as well as high availability or remote geo redundancy.
It's just there for hot swap over.
Yep, it's right in your local data center. So the second is once you've got that mirror put out, you really can't use it effectively for any other workloads. So you've got this piece of hardware running in your data center that is really highly underutilized. So to address some of these challenges, SQL introduced Always On. And the core underneath Always On is this concept of an availability group. An availability group is really just a set of database resources that work together to provide a more comprehensive solution for high availability. It's based off of Windows Server Failover Cluster.
Yeah.
Failover clustering services. And so you create a number of nodes inside your availability group. Each one of your nodes is an independent instance of SQL Server. And those instances can be in your local data center for local availability, or you can use the new feature of multi-subnet support to put one of your nodes in a remote data center for disaster recovery. So you create your availability group, you put your primary database in it. It's the thing that you really want to protect, right? That's where all of your transactions are happening. Then you can create up to four additional secondary replicas. And those replicas, like I said, can be in your local data center or they can be remote. Two of them can be secondary. The others can be, or two of them can be synchronous, excuse me.
Yes.
The others can be asynchronous. So you've now got the ability to kind of mix and match the way that you want to create your high availability story within your data center.
So that's great. You can have up to four copies of the data. That works really well for high availability and disaster recovery, but that seems to be like a lot of hardware that we have in place. Is that primarily what it's used for?
Well, so, with mirroring, we have this issue of hardware that we can't really use.
Exactly.
So one of the great advances that SQL put into this release is we can now take our secondary replicas and actually run workloads against them.
Nice.
And so now we're not really dealing with idle hardware. We've got a nice way to scale out our production system. And one of the ways that this is used is for database backup. We can take one of the most intensive, IO-intensive operations off of our primary and run it on our secondary server. Similar to that, we can use it for read-only workloads. We can take reporting queries and run them on that. Our operations team can run ad hoc queries on our secondary replica. So when you got situations where you maybe have a group of people who have access to run queries against your production system, And they might write a query that does something to block and create an outage for production. We can now move them off to a secondary, and they'll have much much lower impact on the environment. So any workload that we can take off our primary servers and run them on our secondary servers is just really, really good news for our IT department.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I can think of some times back when I was doing some database operations and our backup window, we had some problems and went long, and then we were always challenged with, what are we going to do?
Yep.
So do we have any of the applications, our enterprise applications, adopting Always On?
Yeah, you bet. We've got our 5.8 terabyte SAP ERP system is running on Always On today. They've been part of our TAP since very early on. And what they've done is they've developed and deployed a multi-subnet cluster. Their availability group has a single synchronous replica in their local data center for local high availability, and they've got an asynchronous replica in another data center for geo redundancy. So they've been able to simplify from database mirroring plus log shipping into a single, more manageable, easy to set up, easy to administer and monitor solution. They've been really, really happy with it. One of our other teams is PA Intelligence. This is the data warehouse for our product activation system. So we have a high volume of transactions that come in to our transaction systems. We need to move that data over to our data warehouse. And we need to move it so that we can keep the size of our transaction systems as small as possible, keep the performance up. One of the challenges they have is that we've got increasing transactions going on the transaction systems. And as we're taking and moving large sets of data off those transaction systems to the warehouse, we're getting increased latency. So data movement from our transaction to our warehouse is introduces a lot of latency.
It impacts the overall performance of the transactional system.
So on top of this, we've got our business saying, you know, we'd really like to move our reporting system to a more real-time view of the world, right?
Yes.
A lot of IT is saying we'd like to see our data real-time. It needs to be there fast. So a lot of challenges sitting in front of the PA team. And they used Always On in really kind of an innovative approach. And what they did is they took one of those synchronous secondaries and placed it on a node that was actually the back end of their data warehouse. So in real time now, they're getting their transactions mirrored from the transaction system directly into the data warehouse. So the latency of getting data available for warehouse process and available for reporting is really, really low. So they've virtually eliminated all of the big data bulk data movement from their transaction system to the warehouse. Gives them a lot of flexibility and a lot of room to even continue to grow their transaction volumes. And of course, their customers are happy because they're getting a nice real-time view of what's happening in the activation area.
Wow, I can see Always On being very powerful that way, especially with the area that, you know, when we get into on BI, where users can actually use that in real time on their secondaries.
Yeah, so it's a very good story. We've got improved availability, improved reliability. We're making better use of our hardware. And really able to manage our costs much more closely with this. So we kind of just scratched the surface a little bit of what's happening in SQL Always On. How about we switch modes a little bit and talk about one of the other areas that's really important to most enterprises and most CIOs out there today, and that's BI.
Absolutely. Yes, BI is a top priority for our company. It is a top priority for not only our CIO, but for our product groups to be delivering these products. SQL Server actually started the self-service BI technologies in the last release, the SQL Server 2008 R2 release.
Yeah, remember that.
With the introduction of Power Pivot, an add-in for Excel, allowing users to pull in data from multiple data sources, build a mini model by creating relationships amongst those tables, creating some calculated columns and some measures. And then on top of that, they make a pivot table and be able to do classic reporting for people who are familiar with working with Excel and share that on out. And they found that very powerful. And SQL also introduced the in-memory BI engine, which is a columnar compressed engine. But it turns out it's very performant over the data. And users found that it could have this be very performant over large amounts of data.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you were a high adopter of PowerPivot when it first came out.
Yeah, I'm a super big fan of PowerPivot. What I liked about it is I was able to take data from Excel, data from SQL, data from analysis services, even Atom lists from SharePoint, put them into a single model in an environment that I was really familiar with inside of Excel, and play with the data a little bit, build some reports, iterate on it. It was a super great solution for me.
Yeah.
So that was 2008 R2, so what are we doing today in 2012?
Well, they've taken that and they've added on to it. There's quite a bit of investments that they've made, but a couple of them I'd like to highlight are improvements with the PowerPivot add-in. They've also gone ahead and introduced a very compelling new tool called PowerView. They're continuing with the power terminology.
Power tools.
Power tools. Yeah. Power tools for BI. And they introduced they've taken the engine out of that was in Excel services. It's now called the AS Tabular Database and made it a standalone instance offering on an AS server. And the last and a very important area is they've made improvements to the whole setup of a SharePoint farm. So we'd like to take a look at that one too. That was very powerful for TAP. So with PowerPivot, the add-in, they list out there quite a bit of the enhancements they made, but a couple of them that we found very, very valuable and were interesting to us were the diagram view.
Yeah.
With our background in database modeling.
Anybody who's built relationships with tables wants to see a visual picture of it, yep.
So now you can see not only a visual picture of it, you can move the tables around, create relationships, change relationships, and save it in a view that gives you a view of what your model is versus just seeing tables and a list of relationships. Sort by column was another feature that was added, and that could have come in very handy with some of the solutions we created in the past.
Yeah. Sometimes you want things sorted in an order that really isn't represented in the order of your data. So this is a great feature to be able to make your report look just exactly the way you want it to look.
We had some workarounds in the last release where we had numbers in front of description fields in order to get the sorting the way what we wanted.
Yeah.
Number formats for measures. And they've also created quite a few new DAX functions. Just to list a couple of them, they've got distinct count, they've got lookup value, and top end. All very powerful new DAX features, and they've enhanced some of the ones that they have out there.
Yeah. So what's this PowerView all about?
Well, that's the real compelling one because it is very interactive. It is highly visual. It's a Silverlight-based control running within the browser. It makes it very easy for users to use and build solutions. And sometimes they don't even want to use the reports because these solutions are very interactive, allowing users to see the data and also get better insights into their data.
Nice. So your whole experience is right there in the browser.
In the browser.
You start your reports there and you deliver your reports there.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
And it's a very fine line between editing and viewing. It's always current.
Awesome.
Denali, the feedback program that we ran had reporting requirements. Nobody else. We also have reporting requirements.
Anybody running a project, you've got to roll up some reports to your management sometime.
Yeah, our management required reports. Our teams required reports on what they were doing.
Yep.
And we took a look at what we're doing, and we were doing these reports ourselves fairly manually. The bug data was getting logged into Connect, which flowed into a SQL database supported by Visual Studio TFS.
System.
So we used VSTF and the client to export to Excel. We built
it's kind of a messy, old-fashioned way of pulling data from TFS out of the client into Excel. It seemed like one of the only options we had at the time.
At the time, it was.
Yeah.
I built pivot tables off those, spent quite a bit of time formatting because you and I like to get things to look nice.
That's gonna look good.
And then we spent time emailing these out to the teams and trying to keep track of which ones were the right ones to email them out to the teams. So we saw right away an opportunity that we, in addition to our TAP teams, had at leveraging PowerPivot. Because now we could take that PowerPivot model, we could build, and the PowerPivot model, we could import data from SQL, from Visual Studio.
Yeah, we can take the client completely out of the picture.
Exactly.
Go right to the data source.
And then, SQL kept a couple other attributes in a cube, an analysis services cube. So we were able to import that, join the two together with a relationship, and then work a little bit on our calculated columns and what measures we really wanted to, understand that we wanted to do to measure our business. produce the pivot table reports and find that we were happy with it. We then took those, and the technology allows you with SharePoint to publish those out to a SharePoint repository, lock it down with security, and turn on data refresh, and voila, we have a working solution that no longer required our manual input.
Yeah. So now we got this nice power pivot model. Did we stop there though?
No. That worked well for us, but then we started to see people using PowerView. And we saw right away that we could take our existing Power Pivot model and use it as a source for PowerView. And with PowerView, we could give we added some dimensional views to it, but we could give a very visual experience to the users. It's actually kind of hard to describe. But, you know, maybe the best thing to do would be able to, show it to users.
Yeah, let's see if we can take a look at it.
So with that, let's go ahead and do a demo here. This will be of our PowerView solution that we created for our Denali feedback program.
The solution we put together was essentially just a little dashboard that gave us an idea of what was happening in the program. So we built our Power Pivot model and incorporated into it some of the data from the Visual Studio Team System database. And essentially, the dashboard just contains a chart for each one of the core dimensions of the program. So we've got the applications that were participating. We have down here the different areas of the product that we're having people provide feedback against, the different builds that the feedback is coming in for, the time frame, the week of the year that the feedback has come in, and also the disposition of the bugs or feedback from the product group. So with this, we had just kind of a single view of everything that we're interested to look at literally on a daily basis. So what we would do is when we're having conversations with different teams, we might come in here and click on a single team. And with that single click, PowerView will kind of cross-filter and highlight the contribution of those other charts for the selected bar. So we clicked on MS People here, and what we see down below is we're now looking at the details of the MS People contribution to or by area. So we can see that they were working on Management Studio and that most of their feedback came in for Apollo. We can also see the builds that this particular team picked up, and you'll notice in this chart that this build label at the bottom is a little bit cut off. So one of the things you can do in PowerView is use this little feature called Pop-Out, and it will take any of the charts on the PowerView slide and expand them to full view. So you can now see down here below, we've got a lot more the detail of the labels. We're able to see things a lot more clearly. When you're done, you just pop it back in and go back to looking at your chart. So we're able to really easily see what these different teams are contributing to the program. We also ask a lot of questions like, well, how many teams are filing feedback on analysis services? So we click on analysis services, and just as it did before, it's filtering now the rest of the chart. So we can see all the teams within the program that are working on analysis services that are providing us feedback. Again, we can see the builds down below here and the time frame in which those teams are providing the feedback. So it gives us a really clean and easy way to know if we're on track, are we getting feedback for the different builds that we're looking for from the different teams that we were looking for. And oftentimes, we'd find that we would also like to just focus on maybe one particular type of issue that's coming in. So if we're wanting to maybe look at just the DCRs that are coming in versus some of the other types of issues, we can filter all of the contents of the reports and see who is contributing DCRs. We can see the disposition of those DCRs by the product team. We can see when they came in, there are a lot of other types of rich interactions that we can build and that we have built on other reporting views within this. So our experience moving from our Excel report, pivot table report, to PowerView was just a really great experience, because now we can interact with these slides or interact with these charts and get a really rich idea and maybe discover a few things about what's happened in our program that we couldn't easily see before.
So why did this work well for us? it worked well because we were able to rapidly go through a number of iterations on not only the data, but the layout. We were working with tools that most people who we deal with BI are familiar with, but yeah. Excel.
Excel.
It was very compelling data visualization solution that we ended up with.
Yeah, and I think a key point for this is that we were able to really quickly and easily iterate through building the model, finding the right data, getting the right report layout, because we found, just like many find, that most of the time when you start a BI project, you really don't know exactly what data you're going to need, exactly what format you want to lay it out in. So the tools that we had to use with Power Pivot and iterating really easily with Power View on SharePoint gave us the opportunity to add more elements to the data, enrich the data through Excel, and then build a really compelling visual tool on top of it that allowed us to see a lot more insight about what we were trying to show our users.
Yeah, how many times in your experiences here did your customers say, well, now that I see it, I know what I really want now.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yep.
So,
well, we're talking a little bit about Power Pivot. So that's a solution that lives inside of Excel. It gets published up to SharePoint. So it's Power Pivot, the only solution that we can use, the only data source that we can use for Power View reports?
No, it's not. They actually took that engine inside of Excel and broke it out, because it was actually a mini version of Analysis Services Backup. Built it out onto a standalone service offering in Analysis Services. It's called their tabular model. Okay. So if you set up an AS tabular server, they also provided tools, the Visual Studio tools, you know, for the IT pro developer to build the models and publish them out to this AS server.
So we got this kind of smaller version with Power Pivot published on SharePoint. Now we've got an AS Tabular model. So when would we choose to use Power Pivot versus AS Tabular?
Well, let me talk about a couple of places we did in TAP and why they did that. One of the areas was security. The AS Tabular model does have more security. It provides role level, this new concept of role level security, roles within AS, and also the ability to do row level security through DAX expressions on the data. One of our teams was doing sales, budget, and forecast reporting, and that data is locked down quite tightly around the company, and it's locked down by role and region. And so they were able to implement the same security model using the roles and the DAX expressions as they were implemented in the base systems that they were coming from.
Yeah, so with the SharePoint model then, if you've got access to the report, you've got access to all of the data within that report if it's based on Power Pivot. So it sounds like the AS Tabular model will give us a lot more flexibility that even when you access the report, it's just going to give you the view that's appropriate to your role.
Precisely.
Great.
Spot on.
That's awesome.
Another area the TAP teams found the AS Tabular models useful was around size. Running in SharePoint, the data is actually writing within the Excel file and being put into the content database. When it's being rendered, it's being brought out of the content database, put onto an AS server, and given to an Excel server.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So quite a few steps take place.
The bigger it is, the slower that process is.
Yeah, or
and
the
then
beefier.
You might have restrictions on SharePoint on how big a model you can upload.
Yeah, and we actually, for TAP, we set some restrictions because we build out a performant, but we were targeting models, not data warehouses, being inside of Excel.
Yeah.
So a couple users did have some very large models, and they found that they were able to publish those out to an AS Tabular instance and not be constrained by any farm constraints on file limit sizes.
That's awesome.
The last area is around one of the very powerful features of data refresh. Users love it. It's very powerful in the sense that it lets users have their models be refreshed on the periodic, how often they want to. Mm-hmm. Most people choose daily. Now this is done, as scheduled after nights. But as soon as people saw it daily, the first request they had is, well, we want to go more often, especially at quarter end. We want to go hourly.
If my data is changing frequently during the day, I want to see that reflected in my reports.
And there's a little bit of a challenge there because the SharePoint farm isn't really designed to do that fast iterations in the overhead that it takes to do the data refresh. So if you stood up your own model in an analysis services tabular database, you can set it up to refresh on as often as you want with the way you want.
So I can set it to an hour, I can set it to every 10 minutes or twice a day or something a little bit more frequent than just the daily option I have.
Exactly.
Nice.
And the last area we actually didn't get a chance to test in TAP, but it's one that could be very powerful, and that is if a team came with a Power Pivot workbook that they were using in production, and maybe a PowerView report on top of it, and they wanted to have it be more maintained or more controlled by IT, they could actually give the model to IT, and that model contains everything that's needed, and they just import it into analysis services through the Visual Studio Tools environment, which will do an import.
Okay, nice. So in that way, the information workers, our database analysts and our business analysts, can build a model, figure out what data sources they want to pull together, create the relationships and kind of their key metrics with it, and then hand that off to IT to start an ASTabular project. And it really acts as the requirements. Everything that they need is already defined in that Power Pivot model, and it's a great place for them to start.
It's a mini specification.
Yep, that's awesome.
So the last area that were improvements, and it's one that's near and dear to us because we took on a lot of the responsibilities, and that was running the SharePoint form. And SharePoint form and setting up the BI components was challenging in the last version. They made big improvements this time by separating the installation of the bits.
By challenging, you mean the setup can be kind of gnarly, a little hard to navigate through?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you didn't follow the steps completely or got confused on what steps to do when, you might have to go back and try to figure out what you needed to redo in order to get the farm up and running.
Yep.
Ultimately,
very complex.
Very complex. Yeah. They separated it out, so the installation, it lays down the bits, and now they have the Power Pivot configuration tool. And it runs and configures the farm for you with the settings that you give it to do. And not only that, if you did have a problem with your farm or you changed your farm configuration and added more servers, you can rerun the Power Pivot configuration tool and it will add the servers or repair what's been changed.
Yeah, much more forgiving, a lot easier to set up.
Much more robust.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So in conclusion, you know, we've given you a glimpse of some of the new always on and the BI features that are shipping with SQL 2012. We have additional resources available. They're on the IT Showcase website. Along with that, we have some of Microsoft's SQL servers and the business intelligence information on their websites as also. Thank you for joining us, and we will
see you next time.